Right, friends. Well, welcome to Peace Online and to Peace in Person. My name is Winston Pratt, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and we are so glad that you have joined us today for this very special and in some ways unique service. It's an exciting moment for us as a church, as Jenny's already explained. Today we get to worship in person for the first time in over 6 months. Woohoo! There we go. And we're all a little bit nervous as well, because today is the first time that we actually do a live stream service ever for Peace. So today, those who prefer to stay at home and those who feel more comfortable being present here in the sanctuary, today we can worship together at the same time for the first time. That is a momentous day, and we are really grateful to the Lord for that. So friends, we are living the truth that the Bible proclaims, and that is that we are one in Christ. We may be apart in person, as we certainly are right now. Some of you are here and some of you are at home watching, but we are still united by Christ's Spirit in us. So at a time like this, it is right to give thanks to God for all the advances in science and technology that make community and worship possible during a pandemic. Just think about that. Isn't that absolutely amazing? And what a thrill it is for me and for the worship team that was gathered up here to be present with you today in person and online. And I want to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for your gifts of wisdom and of creativity and of ingenuity. God is a creator God, and today we get to experience the fact that God bestowed so many of those creative gifts on us, His people, His church. Amen. What an exciting day. So, friends, today is the start of something new. Today we are marking a change, and we are beginning a different series by picking up where we left off in Mark's Gospel. You remember this, that series called On the Move with Jesus. We got about halfway at around about summer last year, and we thought that we'd take a break after spending almost a year in Mark. So since then, things haven't stood still. We've had a lot happening in the world and in our lives and as a church. We've had the pandemic happening, but we've also covered lots of ground. So let me just go over that very, very quickly for you. So since then, we've done a series in Galatians, if you remember, called Breaking Free, celebrating the freedom that we have as believers in Christ. And since then, we've done a series called Knowing the Times as the pandemic broke to help us better understand how to deal with national and global crises as believers. And also, we did a little bit earlier in the year, the arc of God's story, exploring how God fulfills His great desire to be with us in person, Emmanuel. And then recently, we did a series called When Heroes Fall, looking at the failures of famous saints and seeing how God forgave them, restored them, and still used them mightily to achieve great things. And then most recently, of the last 3 weeks, we did a series called Being Church, reminding ourselves very, very importantly of the power and of the place of the church in God's plan. So as I mentioned, this week we pick up again in Mark. And how amazing this is. Friends, I didn't plan this. It's just worked out this way. Today's passage could not be more fitting as we embark on this new dimension of our worship life together. Its message is all about the danger of being locked in by the power of tradition. Or as Jesus himself puts it, holding on to human tradition, holding on tightly, but letting go of the commands of God. So we know that Jesus was under close scrutiny. The Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, they were watching him and his disciples, they were watching their every move. And they wanted to get rid of him because they saw him as an imposter and as a rule breaker, somebody who would lead the nation astray. And so they were watching him, watching for a moment to trip him up, and they thought that they had him. Guess what was happening? His disciples were eating food without first washing their hands. Now, we might not think much of that, friends, but this was Bible Basics 101, and they were failing. This was the same as you and I going for our driver's test and not doing shoulder checks. You know what's going to happen if you don't do those, do you? You're going to get failed on the spot. So, they thought, gotcha, we got him. We can show that he's an imposter and a rule breaker. But friends, Jesus was having none of it. He gave as hard as he was getting. So this is how the scene goes down. So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 7, verses 5 onwards. So let me start reading. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" And he replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God, and you are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "And you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to serve your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'If anyone declares that what they might have has been used to help their father or mother, it is korban, that is, it is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.'" Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." And after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked them. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of their body." And in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And he went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." So friends, how many of you watched the American presidential debate on Tuesday? It wasn't great, was it? But it was a tense and a charged affair. So friends, if you thought that was a tough exchange and that was a charged affair, what about this particular one? They are giving it to Jesus and Jesus is giving it back to them just as hard, but he takes them on and he totally demolishes their argument in front of everyone. "Your precious traditions," he's saying, "they are standing in the way of your hearts responding to God." So you got to ask yourself a question. How did this situation come about? Well, many generations earlier, the nation had been taken into exile, and they'd remained there for about 2 to 3 generations into Babylonian exile. And that experience stung very, very deeply and left a lasting imprint on the nation. And the big complaint that God had at the time was that they did not take his word seriously. So the generation that came back realized this was their great fault amongst others, and so they committed themselves to doing it right down to the literal letter of the law. However, friends, the problem is that over time, God set the boundary here, and they set the boundary there. And then over time, they set the boundary there. And over time, they set the boundary there. And as time went on, they set the boundary further, further, and further away. And in the end, what had happened is a whole new raft of rules arose to show how committed you are to keeping God's commands. But they actually had nothing to do with what God initially commanded. And I was thinking today, how would that look? And into the future, you know that we've been at the beginning of the pandemic through quite a serious lockdown. And aren't we looking forward to the day when that is lifted and life can return to a sense of what normal looks like? But friends, just imagine some people still living in a lockdown mentality. So that's exactly what was happening here. They were living in this lockdown mentality. They were adding all these rules and these rules and these rules, and they were end up putting a whole bunch of rules that God did not say that they needed to do. God had commanded that the priests who were serving in the temple, that they wash their hands as they serve, because they are doing consecrated work. That was not something that God expected of the ordinary people, but they added that one in and a whole lot more. So what happens when they do this? In the end, external observance began to matter more than inner morality, as Jesus was pointing out to them. You can keep God's law on the outside without your heart being changed on the inside. You could go through all the motions of being super spiritual and super religious, feeling good about yourselves for having done the right thing, but your heart hasn't changed. Friends, that's always the danger of following traditions blindly. You end up doing things in a rote way without thinking about their deeper meaning or even their usefulness. So it reminds me of a time when I experienced something like this firsthand myself. I started at a new job and I was just settling in, and I observed something after a few weeks that really bothered me. The company provided transport for its employees, which was a good thing, but the employees, many who worked in the manufacturing plant, not in the corporate head office next door, many of those employees were being dropped outside the gate and had to walk quite a distance onto the premises in order to enter into the production plant. You can imagine, it didn't look good and it sent the wrong message. Picture this: workers dropped outside the gate while management and staff could drive right in up to the front door. That's not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture at all. The principle and the optics were bad, and that kind of thing made leadership look bad and made unions mad. Okay? So I'm looking at this and thinking, this is not good. So I call my colleague in and I ask him why this is so. And he says to me, because of security reasons. I say, okay, what's the danger? I asked him. Well, the bus could have a bomb underneath it. Okay, we are a sensitive production facility, and we could be the potential target of an attack. Okay, good, I said, but what about the cars and the taxis coming in? Are we doing any security searches on them? No, he answered. I said, well, surely they pose the same risk as a bus. I mean, why are we treating cars and taxis any different from buses? And he didn't say much. And then I asked him something somewhat facetiously, but to drive the point home, I said, well, maybe from Monday, we should do full security checks on all the vehicles coming in. You know, on the executive, on management, on the staff, on the customers, and on the clients. Maybe we should do that. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me quietly, and we left the conversation there. Guess what happened on Monday? Monday, I was looking, and guess what I noticed? I noticed buses driving onto the premises, dropping employees right in front of the front entrance. Okay? That rule in the end, friends, made absolutely no sense. I mean, if you think about it, any attacker who had been scoping out the company would soon figure out, don't plant a device on a bus. The bus is getting nowhere close. Plant it on a taxi or on a car coming in. That way nobody is searching, and that way you'd get right into the heart of the plant. But here's the thing. They'd held on to that rule or that tradition without questioning it for so long. People had just begun to accept it as it is. Until, that is, the cover got lifted and it collapsed totally under closer scrutiny. Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's tearing down the cover of religious tradition. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that you can believe all things, and your belief can be right. You can say all the right things, and that can be right. And you can do all the right things, and that can be right. But on the outside, all of this will look rosy. But Jesus is saying, even if you do all of those things which on the outside look right and good, if your heart is still ruled by ungodly desires, then God is not fooled. What goes in from the outside does not defile you. What comes out from your heart on the inside, friends, that really defiles you. That makes your heart unclean before God. God sees right in there where all kinds of sin and immorality arise and lurk. And tradition can provide a cover. It can, but only for so long. What comes out will eventually show what's truly hidden on the inside. Only two people know the state of our hearts: God, who sees all things, and ourselves. We know what lurks there beyond the purview of others. But friends, there is more. I'm sure you're thinking, well, Winston, that's a really convicting challenge for us, this call to greater godliness in our lives. But how does it speak to us as a church at this moment, embarking on something new as we prepare for a different world after the pandemic? And that, my brothers and sisters, is a good question. And in this passage, we see the sheer genius of Jesus as a preacher and as a teacher. When I read this, I absolutely loved what I saw. It made me feel good as a pastor. What does Jesus do? He takes an important lesson and he extracts from it the key principle, and then he shows how that principle and how that practice extends to other areas as well. It is a brilliant didactic technique. There's a little line in there that I just love, and in a sense, it gives me as a preacher and as a pastor permission to be able to do the same, to work with God's word, to extract these things and to extend it for us so that we think a little bit more deeply. And the line is this: and you do many things like that. Jesus' way of saying that particular principle, that practice carries over into other areas. So as you think of those particular words, and you do many things like that, in the beginning you think it's maybe just an add-on, something that Jesus is using just to round off his argument. But friends, it is Jesus' way of taking that principle that he's just taught and saying, think about how this applies to other areas of your life as well. So a quick recap. What's the lesson? Your heart shows your true attitude toward God. What's the principle? Self-imposed traditions that make us feel good and seem godly. Self-imposed traditions can run counter to what God intends for us. They can end up, friends, getting in the way. They can end up letting us hold on to human tradition and let go of God. So people of peace gathered here and people of peace gathered online, here's my question for us today. Where could tradition get in the way of God working through us at peace? Can I ask you that question again? Where could tradition be getting in the way of God working through us at peace? And you may have noticed that I intentionally use the word us. This is not so much an individual question, obviously it applies to us as individuals, but this for me is a church-wide question. It's one that I want us to think about as the family of faith. And as that question sits with you, I want you to hold on to it for a while. I want you to ponder on it through today, and I want you to reflect on it more through the week. I don't want you necessarily to just answer it right now. Where could tradition get in the way of God working through us at peace? And here's something. Here's a perspective that I want to throw into that mix for us. I'm going to say something now which is pretty obvious, but it's important to take note of right now, and that is the world is changing at a rapid pace around us. That, I'm sure you'd agree, is an undeniable fact. Yet amidst this uncertainty, brothers and sisters, there are still at least two anchors that hold us close. The first is the gospel message is still the same. God's kingdom has broken into the world through Jesus, and there is redemption and hope for us and for the world in Him. Number one, the gospel message is still the same. That's an anchor. But there's another anchor, and the anchor is this. Jesus is still at work in the world through us, His body, the church. We continue to be His presence, doing His work, guided by the power of His Spirit within us. But friends, that being said, we are being challenged to be the church in a new way. And we are being challenged to think of how we share the gospel in new ways. The message and the mandate from God are the same, but the modes of being the church and the means by which we carry the gospel forward, those are changing. Those are changing. But church, that is nothing new. They've always changed in those particular ways over church history and over time. The way that we have done church in the last 10, 20, or 30 years, this particular generation, is not the way the church has always been done down through the ages. It has changed over time in response to the way that society has changed. So friends, the message and the mandate are the same, but the mode and the means, those are changing. And so I believe that we are at one of those moments of change right now. And all that the pandemic has done, the pandemic hasn't brought the change on. The pandemic has hastened the pace of the change. So, who could have imagined this? Who could have imagined a world where we could be present to each other via digital means without being present to each other in the same space? Who could have imagined that kind of a world 10, 20 years ago? It would have seemed far-fetched and possibly even impossible. But now we can, and the reality is, now we are already doing it. So I've got a couple of examples to share with you today, and I've got five of them. And what I want you to do is I want you to see how many of these five apply to you, both you in person here in the church and you watching online as well. So question number one, and you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to, that's absolutely fine. How many of us have found a new normal conducting work from home online? How many of you have done that? Okay, I'm sure many of you. We did all our staff meetings via Zoom for many months. Question number one. Question number two. How many of you have found a new normal taking a class or teaching online? Okay, I took a two-week class through Regent this summer with 50 students from all over the world, as far afield as Singapore. We took the class together at the same time, and we broke into small groups for discussion together at the same time, all online with people from around the world. Question number three. How many of you have found a new normal meeting customers and clients online? Imagine that, friends, not having to travel across the country or all over the world to do business. But that's what's happening around the world right now. Here's another one. Question number four. How many of you have found a new normal signing legal or formal documents online? Okay, not being in the same office as your lawyer or even the other party, but you're able to sign those documents and they have legal standing. All of this is happening digitally and online. And here's my favorite one. How many of us have got faster and better service meeting our family doctor online? Ah, I can testify to that one, friends. I got a specialist appointment within a few days after a telemedicine consultation with my GP. I did not have to go into his office. I did not have to wait in one of those long 2 to 3 hour queues. And guess what? He was only 10 minutes late. Okay? That was the best record ever. And I thought to myself, Winston, this is working for me. Okay? So friends, the point is this. This new normal is here to stay. People of peace, hear me. This new normal is here to stay. But the important point I want to make is that we can have meaningful community and engagement online. Online doesn't replace in person, but I believe that online adds a new dimension to how we can connect and engage. So people of peace, back to my question. Where could tradition possibly get in the way of God working through us? And here's one of my answers. By us holding onto the view that real church only happens when we are physically present with each other. By holding onto the view that real church only happens when we are physically present with each other. And when we say it in that particular way, it sounds holy and it sounds spiritual. And friends, I don't want to deny that there's an enormously high value to be placed on being physically present. It's the great ideal. But if we hold on to that and we narrow things down to that, and that is only a view of what church can be like, I believe that that view will eventually limit us, people of peace. I believe that. And I believe that that view will limit God's work through us beyond the walls of peace. But here's the other thing. We are being challenged by this, and I think rightfully so, but we are not the only church being challenged by this. And one of the things that the global pandemic has done, which is an inadvertent, I don't want to say blessing, but it's an inadvertent benefit that it's brought about, is that it's forced churches of all stripes, whether people come from an Orthodox background, from a Catholic background, from a mainline Protestant background, from an evangelical background, from a charismatic background, irrespective of the church background that you come from, anywhere in the world, we are all being forced to face the same reality at the same time. We've all been forced to make this move into somewhat uncharted water and uncharted territory. So friends, There's a great opportunity that lies before us at the People of Peace. And I don't want us, just by narrowing our view of what church is, to limit what God can do through us beyond the walls of peace. So can I wrap up? Let me do that. People of Peace, as we look to the future, and as we begin in person today and live streaming as well, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice that we can gather together again today, even in limited numbers, and be physically present with each other. That is a good thing for which we should give thanks and show appreciation to God our Father. But people of peace, as we look to the future and begin in-person services as well as live streaming from today, I want us to do this. Let's not be frightened of the change before us. People of peace, let's trust the Spirit to guide and empower us as we break new ground. People of peace, let's claim our rightful place in this new online space for Christ. And people of peace, let's remember that there is no space beyond the reach of God's kingdom, yes, even online digital space. People are gathering there. And because people are gathering there and people are meeting there, God wants us to be there. And we should be there. We should be there building community online. We should. And we should be there making disciples online. We should. And we should be there taking the gospel forward online. We should. And we should be there, friends, being a blessing to the world by taking Jesus' presence online into the social space too. Jesus wants to be present online. There are people who are going there, and we know that online can be a scary and actually quite a hurtful and a harmful place. Don't we want the redemptive message of the gospel to go there? And for people who are going there to encounter Christ there as well? So my fellow brothers and sisters, the people of peace, we should be there. But let's be a blessing, Christ's blessing to people by taking his presence online through us. So people of peace, here's my end challenge for us. Let's not hold on to tradition so tightly that in so doing, we eventually let go of God. Amen? Let me pray for us as I close. Lord Jesus, you have faithfully guided us, your church, through many times of upheaval and change throughout human history. Lord, thank you that your faithfulness and love are constants that we can depend upon. And thank you that the message of the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, in every age and for each new generation. Thank you for your word to guide us and your Spirit to empower us to be your living presence in the world. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd help us not to be frightened of the changes before us, but to trust in your steady, sure hand. Lord Jesus, help us to claim our rightful place in this new digital space for you. For Lord, all things have been placed under your feet as ruler of all. And Lord Jesus, as we look to the future and break new ground, help us build genuine community online, Lord, and help us make strong disciples online too, and help us take the gospel forward there, and Lord, make us a blessing to everyone we encounter in person, in physical space, and in online space too. We, the people of peace, ask all of this in your mighty and in your powerful and in your faithful name. Amen.